30 years after the first cases of AIDS were diagnosed, a series of studies appears to provide hope of a game changer. Not a vaccine, but a daily pill which can sharply reduce the chances of contracting HIV. Dr. Anthony Fauci of the National Institutes of Health wrote, quote, "We now have an unprecedented opportunity to control and ultimately end the AIDS pandemic." He joins us in just a moment. But now, who gets access to these drugs and at what cost? If you have questions, give us a call, 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org, and you can join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Anthony Fauci is director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases at NIH, and he joins us from a studio there in Bethesda, Maryland. Nice to have you back on Talk of the Nation.
It's good to be here.
And we spoke with you in November when the study about antiretrovirals and HIV prevention in gay men was published. That was great news. Now there's proof this approach is effective for heterosexuals as well.
That is true. There were two studies that came out essentially simultaneously in the sense that the monitoring of the studies the data was such that the investigators were asked to stop the placebo limb because the results of the treatment were so good. And so let me explain what it was. As you mentioned correctly, in November, the New England Journal of Medicine published this study in Men Who Have Sex with Men, where if you give a drug that you would normally treat someone who is HIV infected, if you give that drug to someone who's uninfected, you could have a significant impact on preventing that person from getting infected upon exposure. That was in Men Who Have Sex with Men. The two studies that you just alluded to took place in heterosexual couples. One took place in Kenya and Uganda, and one took place in Botswana. And the results were similar. The studies were a little bit different. One of the studies was a study of heterosexual couples who were discordant for HIV, which means that one of the heterosexual couple, either the man or the woman, was infected and the other one was not. The second study, which was a study from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention that took place in Botswana, was a study of heterosexual men and women who were just sexually active, not necessarily with a regular partner who was infected. And to make a long story short, it showed that if you compare either one drug called tenofovir or two drugs that are also used to treat HIV infection called Truvada, that the difference between the individuals who took a placebo versus those who took the drug was really quite striking. The prevention was anywhere from 60-plus to 70-plus percent in the uninfected person.
Well, first of all, congratulations. I mean, this is wonderful news.
It is very good news. It adds to a growing armamentarium of prevention modalities that we have, and that particularly over the last 18 months, there have been a series of studies that have come out to indicate that we can, if these types of interventions are adhered to, have a major impact on preventing HIV infection, which really was the reason I made that statement that you quoted, that now as we're accumulating good, solid scientific data of biological means to prevent infection, it's starting to look like we can really get a handle around this pandemic if, in fact, these types of interventions are implemented.
And thereby lies the question. There's also operational questions about how these treatments are supplied. Expense? Well, these antiretrovirals, at least in this country, are pretty expensive.
Yes, they are. One of the antiretrovirals that was used in both studies, tenofovir, can be available in a generic form. So particularly in countries in Southern Africa where these are most needed, because that's where the bulk of heterosexual transmissibility takes place, you can get that drug for an extraordinarily lower price than you get in the developed world. So that's one of the good things that drug, tenofovir, which is made by a company which has agreed to make it available in a generic form. So although any drug costs the amount of money, this is considerably less than the quite expensive multiple drug regimens that are used to treat people who are actually infected, as opposed to the situation here of giving a drug to someone who isn't infected in order to prevent infection.
Is that why this study was conducted in Africa, some people read a study of, well, a drug of this importance, and they're doing it in Botswana. What's going on?
Well, the situation is that the bulk of heterosexual transmissions occur in southern Africa. If you look at the 34 million people who are living with HIV worldwide, 90% of them plus are in the developing world, and about 67% of them are in Africa. The modality of transmissibility in Africa is overwhelmingly heterosexual transmissibility, whereas in certain countries in the developed world, including in the United States, where men who have sex with men is still the major modality of transmission, although we do have a significant amount of transmission by heterosexual transmission and injection drug use. The one that dominates it most in our country and in other developed nations is men who have sex with men. So when you're talking about transmissibility among heterosexuals, clearly that's the dominant mode in southern Africa.
Then you're talking about how many people should get this. And yes, in a country like the United States, you could say this is a fairly targeted community, or set of communities. And in a place like Botswana, though, it's almost everybody.
Well, that's a very good point. And that's the kind of policy decisions that are going to have to be made. It's the balance between treating people who are infected already, who need treatment not only for themselves, but in order to prevent them from infecting others, versus making drug available to individuals who are not yet infected. And that's the reason why there's a lot of discussion right now about the modification, if any, of guidelines of treatment versus prevention. A statistic that's an interesting statistic, that in low and middle income countries, although over the last few years with the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief and the Global Fund, that there are now about 6.5 million people in the world who are receiving therapy. That's only about 40% of the people who actually can benefit from therapy. So we still have an enormous number of people who are already infected that need treatment. Now we know that you can actually target certain groups who are uninfected to help them to prevent getting infected. We also know from an interesting study that came out not too long ago, in which if you treat people in a discordant heterosexual couple, if you treat the person who's infected, you not only can benefit that person, but you can also, by 96%, decrease the likelihood that that person would transmit his or her infection to his or her heterosexual partner. So there's going to be a lot of consideration now about what groups to make this prevention of uninfected people, but in other words, treating the way they were in these two studies that we're discussing today. There's going to have to be some serious consideration about the balance of distribution of resources.
And so in a crisis that has cost the lives of some 30 million people, where the choices not so long ago were abstinence or condoms, both of them of limited use, this is now a preventable disease?
Well, yes, but I want to just make sure that the listeners understand a very important concept, that this is not a substitution for the other types of prevention modalities that we know work. In fact, in this particular study, individuals who were in the study were given condoms, both male and female condoms, were instructed on avoiding infection by safe sex procedures, were counseled, were treated for other sexually transmitted diseases. But human nature being what it is, even with those other modalities, people still got infected with HIV. So this is going to be something that would be complementary to other known preventive modalities that you know work. We don't want anybody to get the impression that now that there's been good scientific proof that a drug that's used to treat HIV infection can now be used to prevent HIV infection, that you can just forget about all the other prevention modalities. That would be the worst possible thing that could happen.
Let's get some callers in on the conversation. Our guest, Dr. Anthony Fauci of the NIH National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. Victoria's on the line from Ann Arbor.
Yeah, I had a question for the doctor. I was wondering, will this prevent all strains of HIV from transmitting, or just certain ones? I know with antiretrovirals, you have to find the right pill for the right strain, and sometimes it's a hit or miss even with that.
Well, with all due respect, that's not the case. If you're talking about viruses that are resistant to drugs, then definitely there are some viruses that generally can get resistant, particularly if you don't properly use the drug. But when we refer to strains or clades, is another word that's used, a virus like the kind of particular strain that is in the United States and Canada and Australia versus those that are in Thailand versus those that are in Southern Africa, these drugs are effective against all and every one of those strains. Sometimes, as with any antiviral drug, you can select for a resistant mutation, but that occurs regardless of what the strain is. But a strain itself in one country versus the other, they're all relatively equally sensitive to these types of drugs.
Thank you, Victoria.
Great, thank you.
We're talking with Dr. Anthony Fauci about the use of antiretroviral drugs to curb the transmission of HIV. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go next to John, and John's with us from Venetia in California.
Yes. Hello?
Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Oh, hi. Thank you very much. Yeah, I would like to ask, Doctor, what are the side effects that have been observed with the daily treatment that he's recognizing for prevention of HIV transmission? Thank you.
Well, that's a good question. Any drug has side effects. The drugs in question that were used here, fundamentally a bit of nausea and some stomach upset, but nothing that really is of a significant enough to have people decide that they just cannot tolerate the drug. But again, a good point to be made is that any drug regimen will always have variable degrees of side effects. It just so happens that these drugs have minimal side effects, even when they're used in people who are infected. And that was one of the qualities of the drugs that led to the decision to use these types of drugs as prevention of HIV infection.
Let's go next to Gene, and Gene's with us from Grand Rapids.
Hello, Dr. Fauci.
Hi.
Hi, I am a grandmother, and I have a younger boyfriend who 9 years ago was diagnosed with HIV and has been upfront with me about that. And 2 months ago, I was diagnosed as having an HIV condition. I live on assistance and have had to improve my health over the years with a lot of herbs and supplements. And my concern is if this becomes a very popular night after or morning after type pill approach, that the demand for it will go skyrocketing and it will become even more out of reach. I have looked at some bills that I received before I learned how to do my Medicare Medicaid correctly, and I was appalled at the price of a simple blood test that my doctor had ordered for me. And my concern is now, what will the cost be for this pill that may become the next holy grail?
Well, again, In heterosexual couples where you have, and that's the point I made a little bit ago, that when one partner is infected and the other is not, if the infected partner is on treatment for his or her HIV infection and the virus level goes to where you'd expect it to go, there's a 96% decrease in transmissibility. Was your partner on therapy at the time that the infection was transmitted to you, or was he not on?
Begun in treatment because his numbers have been spectacular up until this last year.
Well, that's a very good point, because we're seeing right now that the earlier you treat, the better. When we first started off in guidelines, because of the concern of the long-range potential toxicities of drugs, there was a reluctance to start people who had very good CD4 counts, namely that their disease had not advanced significantly. But right now, the recommendations are definitely leaning towards treating people early on. And unfortunately, that was not the case in your sexual partner. But getting back to your concern is that this is not something to substitute for other types of prevention.
Well,
this
absolutely.
Is for
absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely.
And you bring up a very good point.
That I wasn't thinking, and yeah. My concern is that human beings will still be human beings, and that there will become still a drive for this. And I'm wondering what it will do to copays and everything for Medicare and Medicaid.
Yeah. I think it's too early to say that. I think what's going to happen, which usually happens, is that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, as they have done with the study that came out in Men Who Have Sex with Men, are going to be considering all of these data and are going to make recommendations or not about the situations in which these should be used. These are data that literally just came out a couple of days ago. So a lot of good discussions are going to occur, and guidelines will certainly come out.
Gene, good luck.
Dr. Fauci, thank you for all the good work you've been doing.
Bye. Thank you.
Dr. Anthony Fauci, thank you very much for your time today.
Pleasure to be here.
Director at the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases at the National Institutes of Health. Tomorrow, it's Talk of the Nation Science Friday. Ira Flatow will be here with a look at why weeds and invasive species may not deserve their bad rap. I'll be back with you on Monday to talk about finding a job after long-term unemployment. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.